Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the Trans-Pyrenees Race number 3, supported by our race partners, Physique, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. Thursday, 28th of September, registration day at TPR3. It's a beautiful day in the south of France, as our riders come together to register, check their bikes, and collect everything they need to take on the many peaks of the Pyrenees. David Eyre, race director.
We are here at registration at the Big Top tent in Saint-Jean-de-Luz. The sun is shining, so very different conditions from this time last year when we retreated to torrential rain and thunderstorms. So riders are arriving, they're collecting their cap and their tracker. They are having their tracker briefing, having their bike checks, so making sure that their bike is in full working order, that they have all of their retro reflective gear and their helmets okay, getting their rider portrait and really getting themselves set up for the start of the race. So everyone has to come back in a few hours' time for the rider briefing at 5 p.m. But really this is the chance for us to make sure that riders have everything that they need and probably help them settle any of those last minute nerves as well.
Our riders have more than 1,700 kilometres ahead of them and will need to climb more than 40,000 metres before they arrive back at the finish line in Saint-Jean-de-Luz. They will have to make a number of route choices along the way too, all of which makes it hard to predict exactly how their race will go. Samuel Thompson, cap number 2, is taking on the TPR for the third time.
I've done both editions. In the first edition I finished second. In last year I scratched about 500k in on the gravel road into Andorra. I loved this event the first time I did it. I didn't have the experience I wanted to last time, and I don't want to frame this as sort of having completing what I didn't do last time. I want to sort of go into it with a fresh mindset and to be able to do my best and to above all enjoy the event. I think above all I'm quite looking forward to just getting out there, and not sort of, sometimes in the lead up to these events you feel a bit intimidated by not knowing where you're going to sleep for the next week, not knowing exactly what's coming up, but that can be turned into a positive way as well, of that excitement of who knows what's going to happen over the next week. I've got my route planned, I've got options for the route as well, so yeah, we'll see what happens, and not putting any expectations on myself and just trying to enjoy it and do the best I can.
Another rider back at TPR this year, lured by the magic of the mountains, is Juan Miri, cap 93.
So last year I was in sunrise in the Obisque. It was the last morning, and I realized that I was not going to be able to take the Wednesday train back to Paris. So my morale was very, very, very low, and all my energy went off. And I called my wife, and as soon as she said hello, I started crying. And I said to her, you know, I am suffering so much. I am in a lot of pain. I swear to you that I will never do this again. I swear to you. And like 2 weeks later, I was like checking if there was some news. And during the whole year since today, she and my two daughters, they said, but Dad, you called Mom crying, saying that you will never do this again. And I said, yeah, I know, but sorry, girls, but I have to go. I can't take it. I have to go. I have to do it again. But it is so beautiful. You enter into a kind of tunnel. And it's... I wrote it like a week after. You spend like 5 days and a half. I will do it in 5 days, 6 days. Absolutely alone. You cross some guys riding, but you are alone with the mountain and the animals. And when you have like a life in Paris with a lot of people, with a lot of rush, with a lot of stress, being just alone with the mountains, it's something that you never forget it. It's something that you need to come back.
Nikki Ray, cap 97, is also back, having been forced to scratch to end her race at last year's TPR.
So it was all going quite well, and maybe I was like two-thirds of the way through, maybe half of the way back on the park or the raid Pyrenees. and I got quite stressed, and like one thing led to another, and I got neck fatigue, or some people call it Sherman's neck. So it was quite hard to lift my head up as I was descending, and it was actually quite scary because in forcing my head up, it was like distorting my facial expressions without trying to, and I kept persevering until the point where I was like, you shouldn't really be doing this anymore, and I had to scratch in the middle of nowhere, which was really fun. So I had a big debate about whether to come back, and I thought a lot about what caused the Sherman's neck fatigue, and a lot of it I realised could have been avoidable, but knowledge is power, and when you don't have the knowledge, then you don't. So I think I'm feeling like very confident.
So you took the wise decision to stop for your own safety. You've solved the problem, hopefully.
Yeah.
And now you're back.
Yeah.
For many riders, this will be their first experience of TPR. Molly Weaver, cap number 9, is coming back from injury. She hasn't had the perfect preparation. So how is she feeling about what lies ahead?
Mellow. Like, maybe too mellow. Just excited. Even the ride here, like the last hour, I'm like, oh, this is nice. It's going to be good. Well, I got injured like 6 weeks ago, so it's been basically just rehab and like trying to do a comeback in 6 weeks, and then we're going to see what happens out there. I would call it a ride strategy, not a race strategy. I'm going to try and pace it like really well. I think I'll feel in the first few days. I think my knee will go if I go too hard in the first few days, which is like ease into it. I think it'll probably be good. So I'm going to try and like kick back a bit, and then if I'm doing all right, I'll push on a bit at the end.
Caroline Buckland, cap 34, is also riding her first TPR.
I started doing ultra races earlier this year, and I've done 3 now in this year. So I've gone from doing absolute nothing like this to really enjoying it, apparently. I don't know if I actually enjoy it whilst I'm doing it, though. I think during it, I absolutely hate it.
What other races have you done?
I did Race Around Rwanda in February. I loved that. That was a gravel race. And then I did the Transatlantic Way in Ireland in June.
Nice.
But this is going to be a hell of a lot more climbing. I think it's the third section up to the checkpoint 2. That's the bit where I'm like, do I do a bit of gravel? I've changed my tyres, so I can probably do a bit of gravel. So I think I'm gonna go for it and see.
Do you generally like riding off road, or you try and stick on roads?
I love gravel. Yeah. I went so I'm a mountain biker.
Okay.
So I'd probably say road is probably less risky. But there was a long detour if you're doing it road, so yeah, I've gone for gravel. Might eat my words on that one.
Once the riders have registered, one of our volunteers gives them their all-important tracker, which allows us to see where they are in the race.
Tracker is fully on, okay, and so you don't need to turn it on, anything like that. It's running and
fully
it's fully charged, exactly.
Perfect.
Probably best to keep it in the bag while you're out and about on the road, just to keep it nice and dry and nice and clean.
Sure.
Carlos down at the end is doing a bit more info on it now, a bit of a briefing. There'll be more info at 5 o'clock in the main rider briefing. And then the last thing to do is just to pop your bike over to the mechanics there, give it a quick check, and they'll check it over, and you're good to go.
Perfect.
All right,
enjoy
your ride.
My name is Philippe Lallemand, and I was here last year to give a hand, as I used to own a bike shop and be a mechanic. I'm actually doing the bike check for every participant. So, you know, making sure there's the front lights, rear lights. You know, it's basically a safety check, and make sure these guys are ready to go with all the needed safety on their bikes. So, yeah, and then a bit of, you know, mechanics here and there, but not too many.
The race itself is challenging enough, but getting to Saint-Jean-de-Luz stress-free can also play a role in how riders feel when they arrive for registration. It's fair to say that some have a more relaxed experience than others. Tom Fitton, cap 53.
I'm just trying to get set up. I've just had a bit of one of those days where nothing's gone to plan, and I've lost a few bits and bobs.
Oh dear, what's happened?
Well, the biggest thing that happened was I was supposed to get a train from Bordeaux, and I got there on time, just about, because my other connecting train was delayed, and then they wouldn't let me on the train, so because it was full, even though I had a ticket. So I had to get a taxi from Bordeaux to here to make it in time, really. Otherwise, I was going to be getting here really late with no bike set up or anything. Yeah, it's a bit annoying. And then I've managed to lose my helmet in the rush a bit, so I'm going to have to pop out and get a helmet as well. But apart from that, it's not too bad. I think we're going to be all right.
Training for TPR is an important part of a rider's preparation. Some prefer to get as many kilometres into their legs as possible. Others get the pre-race rest they need to make sure they are ready. And then there's Ricardo Cajar, cap number 4.
I booked this race months ago, and my plan was to prepare very well for ultra cycling. And then again, triathlon happened to me, and I qualified for the Ironman Championship. And so I had to focus myself for the championship, which was the 10th of September. So when I come back home, I just realized that I'm going to do a very tough race and quickly to prepare everything I need. So I really hope I have also today left time to set the last stuff, and I hope everything will be okay.
As well as our solo riders, we have a number of pairs taking part in this year's TPR. St. John de Luz is home to Tristan and Clément Chamart, caps 140 A and B. Last year, Tristan rode solo. At TPR3, he'll be alongside his twin brother.
I'm more excited to do the race now, or today, but yeah, it's going to be...
And how are the legs feeling?
The legs not too bad. We haven't...
Good preparation in Alps, like for 1 week, and not too much bicycle this summer because with the walk and more easy to go in running, like 1 hour or 2 hours in the mountain, but yeah, a little bit warm. And first race and last race of the year in pair.
Yeah, so we're excited to do that with my brother. We had started doing bicycle together, and now I did my travel and he did his race, so he's now we're gonna be together.
And how are you feeling about the route?
The route more difficult than the past year, I think that's true.
Yeah.
But depend if we have good weather like the last year, and yeah, normally big climb and not too much road, so little bit shortcut
in the gravel road, alpinism.
We're gonna see. Yeah. I'm excited about that, but a little bit tired.
Afraid. But yeah, it's gonna be good.
Some riders are here with family members who've come to show their support before their loved ones ride off into the Pyrenees.
I'm Hannah. I'm here to support my husband, Matt, who's doing the solo event. So he's been busily squirreling away, kind of planning routes and obviously training. But actually, the last few weeks, it's kind of been more a case of opening maps on the kitchen floor and trying to work out actually how to get to checkpoint 2 without going through a tunnel or over a mountain pass and weighing stuff repeatedly on the kitchen scales to work out which option's best. And now he's all set and looking forward to going. I'm really proud, and we both do a lot of endurance sports, and he's supported me a lot over some big events over the last few years, so it's really nice to see him going on his own journey, but also a little bit apprehensive. I think the route's a bit further than we were kind of expecting based on what we saw last year, so then that increased mileage is obviously a bit nerve-wracking, and there's lots of things that might not go to plan, so a bit nervous. I'll be having my phone on loud and checking the tracker repeatedly, I think.
70 of our 119 riders at TPR3 are on the green leaderboard, which means they get to and from the race in a sustainable way. For most, that means travelling by train. For Paul Nelson, cap 129, it means something slightly different.
So, my transport is an Audi A2. It's an old car, 20 years old, diesel car, but I've converted it to run purely on recycled veg oil. So, basically I've got a car half full of veg oil.
And where do you get your veg oil from?
So, veg oil is like recycled, so it comes from chip shops, Chinese takeaway, it quite often smells of, if you're following me. Basically it's collected, filtered, shoved in the car. You know, I want to try and cut down my carbon emissions, so that was the way to go for me. I try not to fly anymore, just generally. So when we go on holiday, we tend to drive or ferry, you know, and it's just a way of doing your bit, I suppose, isn't it? So that's really, you know, part and parcel of travelling down here and getting involved in the race and, you know, trying to do it the right way.
Later this evening, the riders will return to the tent in St. Jean de Luz for the rider briefing, where they'll get taken through the rules and receive all the information they need before race day tomorrow. There will be tension in the air, nervous excitement about what's to come. Russ Kessley, Cap 120, is another rider who rode last year's race. What is it that brings him back for more?
Because last time when I came over the finish line, I was absolutely beaming. I couldn't know where to put myself. It was such a great adventure, and it was just brilliant.
What is it about TPR, do you think?
Everything about it. So people, the ride, the way it's put together, the organisers, everyone kind of works together. But it just made me beam from ear to ear.
In the next episode, we'll bring you all the stories from day one at this year's Trans-Pyrenees race. We'll find out who sets the early pace and hear directly from our riders out on the road as they settle into life in the mountains. You can find daily content from the race on our social media and read daily race reports from the road. Thanks to our race partners, Physique, Pedaled, Telfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.